start the show off laughing. Hey, welcome to episode 5 with Girk
and Keek.
That's her.
Yep.
We are loving doing this. We're getting really great feedback, and we're so glad that you guys are with us to see the world through our crazy lens of perception.
That's true. It's a true story. And I have to tell you, even if we only do this every week for Superfan Tim, I'm okay with that because we're having a really good time. And so, you know what? I don't give a shit.
Speaking of not giving a shit, what's going on in your life?
Oh, yeah. No, today's a crazy day. Both of us have been trying to get our schedules together because, again, for those of you who don't know, I'm in Los Angeles, Girk is in Chicago, and we Skype these calls. So our schedules are a little cuckoo, trying to get it all worked out between hers and mine and the 2-hour delay. And so today we literally, to get this show done this week, we literally have, 50 minutes today. Girk is running around trying to get work done. I was trying to put chlorine in our my white trash pool. The dude's mom was in town visiting, so she decided to send us a gigantic 12-foot by 12-foot round above ground, which I said I would never have, white trash pool that takes up our entire backyard. And so now whenever I look out the back, we have these big glass windows that lead out to the back door or the back porch. And whenever I look out them, I see a gigantic blue plastic pool, which reminds me of Floaty Boy from a couple of episodes ago.
Now, wait, does it have a ladder? Is it the kind that's like 4 feet
no,
high?
No, it's not. No. God, Lord help me. Sweet Jesus. No, it doesn't
have
a ladder.
How do you get in it? You just hop in it?
No, it's literally like 3 feet deep. Yeah, you just climb into it. It's a gigantic 3-foot deep puddle in my backyard. And I'm trying to put chlorine in it so I don't have fucking West Nile in my backyard. And it's got a filter, and I'm at the pool store looking like a dumbass. And then I get home, and of course, because I can't manage to just, I will read the instructions, unlike dudes who have a tendency to just wail into it. Right. I will read the instructions. However, if I am short on time and I don't feel like dealing with it because it's blistering hot today and my kid is home and he's going to want to swim with his friend later, I'm trying to figure out the easiest possible way to not poison everybody and yet still have chlorine in the pool. And so I managed to get chlorine all over my skin because I didn't use rubber gloves. And then I was like, oh, as my skin's starting to burn, probably should have used rubber gloves.
Right. That's like bleach. Mm-hmm.
It's like bleach. Yeah. Uh-huh. Apparently chlorine is like bleach. And then of course I set my drink down next to it and it was windy. So a big gust of wind came up and blew a big chlorine powder all over my backyard.
Yeah. Hello, though. Welcome to Los Angeles. You know, they put chlorine in your water anyway.
Yeah, but probably not teaspoons full of it.
No, maybe not. Although, LA.
I do this kind of stuff, and it reminds me of you because I know you find the hilarity in every situation. And I do this stuff, and I just look and go, how do I manage to get my pants on every morning? How do I manage to get through life? How? Because I am so smart with some things and such a fucking dumbass on the other. You know, I'm sitting here scrubbing my skin in the sink thinking to myself, really? I knew if I should have just put like rubber gloves on and now, whatever.
Wait, doesn't the chlorine, like, aren't they tablets or a dispenser or is it just granules?
I don't know. I just bought a big bag. And I'm throwing it.
Okay, wait, you do know because either it's granules or it's tablets. If you bought a big bag.
Yeah. Oh no, it's a bag of sand. It's a bag of
granules.
Yeah. It's the bag of granules. And so that's why henceforth, when I was sprinkling it into the pool, into my little kitty white trash pool, the wind would come and it'd go poof. And I'd be like, oh my God, run.
Maybe you should be wearing a hazmat suit when you do this.
I think I need to be wearing a hazmat suit throughout most of my life is I think what needs to happen. I think I just need to walk through my life with a fucking hazmat suit on with a big sign on the back that says stay 20 feet back like the firefighters.
Okay, wait, can we briefly go back and how we get in and out of this pool, because that would mean that everyone has to have at least, okay, so folks at home, just go with me here.
Yep.
So the side of the pool is like a blow up thing, right?
Yep.
So the thing would be is if you depress that low enough, the water from the pool, like if you depress the side of the wall to get in, the water from the pool will flow out and onto the ground.
And that's what the children do all the time is I'm running around in the background like an old person. Like when I was a kid, I said I wouldn't be like this. And now I'm running around the background going, we're in a drought. Water costs so much money.
My water bill is so expensive.
Stop pouring all the water out of the pool, you little shitheads.
Nice. I was going to mention that from what I read that Los Angeles, well, California in general is a 400-year drought.
Yeah.
And this is like the worst in ever.
Yeah, and it's the first time I've ever owned a pool that uses like 5,000 gallons of water in my backyard. I know, it's totally irresponsible. And I have to tell you that I am the most responsible person. I'm the one who's running around behind everybody saying, turn the water off when you're brushing your teeth. Don't, you know, we need to not do small loads of laundry. We need to make sure that, like, and then my son came up. He read the shampoo bottle, which apparently on the back, he said, it says that you can turn the water off when you're washing your hair. And it saves like, I don't know, 100 gallons of water every week or whatever. And right. So now we're doing that because I was like, well, that's kind of genius. I didn't even think about that. You're just standing there shampooing your hair while the water's going down the drain. And yet I'm, you know, I just wasted like thousands of gallons of water probably to let today alone because of the fiasco.
Yeah, not to mention that it's evaporating in your heat. But that's a whole nother story and we like to stay cool. So you have fun. Good luck to your skin condition.
Thank you. Yep. Uh-huh. Thanks.
Okay, so what's been going on with me? Completely crazy, which is kind of funny to some, not so much to me all the time, but I'm managing to get through it. I mean, like I'm just running around, going here, doing this, doing that, and working and this and that. And, you know.
Did you want to start with word of the week?
I was either going to.
Yeah, I think we should. I think we should start with word of the week because okay. Girk had a brain fart and then started laughing hysterically when I mentioned word of the week. So I think we should start with it.
All right.
Okay. It's like password. I love it.
The word of the week is duck butter.
Duck butter.
Duck butter.
Duck butter. Duck butter. Okay.
Would you like me to use it in a sentence?
Oh, yes, please.
I won't go anywhere near him because he has duck butter.
Oh, I'm going to guess that it's the cheese that collects in a man's taint.
Yes!
Yeah!
Let me read you the definition that
Why
I got off of Urban.
Why does my brain work that way? Why does my brain work that way? I'm so disturbed that I got that. Oh, what does that say about me?
It says that you like some things more than others, I guess.
Fuck.
Your interests are varied, yet skewed.
Wow.
Very good. I'm really impressed. I mean, I'm impressed, but I'm also kind of scared because I did not know what duck butter was.
And it was your sentence. In my defense, I think it was your brilliant, ingenious sentence that helped me to get that because I'm so wildly impressed and disturbed with myself right now.
Okay. Well, let me read you the definition because that was just about ready to make me vomit when I read it.
Yeah.
The combination of oil, sweat, dirt, cum, and lack of hygiene from the ball sack and anus that creates a buttery film on the grundle, which is the taint, and butthole.
I'm so gagging right now. Oh my God. It was way funnier when I said it. Oh my God, that's nasty.
Oh, I'm not done with the definition. Oh,
okay.
This mixture of components under the proper temperature, humidity, and friction. I'm gonna vomit myself.
I'm seriously gagging.
Forms a buttery substance that leaves stringers when your balls are separated from the inner thigh.
No, we have to stop. We have to stop. No. Oh, my God. Stringers. Oh,
or
wow. Nope. I think we need to stop.
No. I'm almost done. Or when you spread your butt cheeks. Colors can vary from brown, yellow, white, to an occasional green. And the consistency is that of mucus. It is said it can be scraped off with a fingernail, mixed with water, and rubbed on the face and anus as insect repellent. Although mostly associated with men, women are also prone to having duck butter. Going on record again, I have never had duck butter in my crack. Ever.
I am so grossed out right now. I can't even. It takes a lot to gross me out, and I'm seriously that. I think I was okay until the stringers and the colors, and I'm like, I'm nauseous right now. That's so disgusting. That is so disgusting. But wait, grundle? I didn't realize a taint, that the proper name for a taint was grundle. Is that what
you
said?
Well, that's another new word for the week then, isn't it? Grundle. I didn't either. I looked it up.
Grundle. Grundle. Use it in a sentence. Grundle. I have to itch my grundle. I don't know.
I bent over and they saw my grundle.
Fuck. That's so gross.
Don't stick that chopstick in your ass crack. It might get caught in your grundle.
That is so gross.
And you might
gross.
Be able to pick out the duck butter then. Ew. Okay, so
word
of the week.
Bum, bum, ba, na, na. Okay, hang on. Why did you hear duck butter? Were you looking for a word, or did you come across the word?
I came across the word.
And how, might I ask, did you come across the word duck
butter? I think a friend of mine used it, and I'm like, what is that?
Wow.
And then he told me, and I'm like, and then I started laughing.
You need of course, as we would.
I'm like, that is so filthy, disgusting, and foul. Oh, is that gross? And then I'm like, I got to look it
up. I
got to
write that down.
Word of the week.
That is so foul. I got to write that down. You need a better class of friends.
Really? I don't watch TV shows that use the word blumpkin.
Okay. You know what? Don't judge me.
What were you just doing to me? I need to hang around with a better class of friends.
I know. But I'm a judgmental bitch and you're not. I was watching.
Oh, that's right.
I was watching Catfish and I freaking love that show.
Okay. I thought you weren't watching Catfish anymore.
I lied. I still watch Catfish.
Anyway, what happened?
No. So, okay, I have to tell you that today apparently was the week of the vibrator because every news story, everything that I kind of looked at this week all involved vibrators. And so I figured I had to share. Have you heard of the Gaga vibrator?
No.
Okay. So I have no idea why it's called a Gaga vibrator, but basically the new thing now is a vibrating vag cam.
Wow.
Yes. So as I'm reading about the vibrating vag cam, which is clearly a kind of pocket rocket vibrator that has a camera and a light, because if you're going to shove something up your hoo-ha or your ding-dong, then you got to have a light on the end so you can really see the orifice of your choice. So,
wow, that's like a miner's helmet. Like a coal miner's helmet, right?
Yeah. And I figured
fascinating.
The thing about it is this thing is $180. And I'm sorry, for $180, it's like just slap a GoPro on your forehead and call it a day. But this thing actually goes up in whatever orifice you want it to go in, and it's got a light and a camera on the end of it. So it's almost like when you see those medical shows and they show the scope.
I just had this vision of the movie Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Where they tie the parents to the rope.
Yes.
And they jump through the closet and they're all holding the string, because how do you get that out? They pull on the string. So you got to get it back out. How do you get it out?
Well,
If it were me, you know, I'd use my Kegels.
You'd use your Kegel or you'd use
And
your,
I would just yeah, shoot it across Kegel. The room.
You'd shoot that fucker across the room. And for those of you who haven't listened to episode 4, better listen. Yes. So it goes up in there. But the thing about it is how is that even remotely sexy? Why do you want to see what the inside of my vagina and my cervix and my uterus? I mean, I don't know how far up there you're going to shove it. But I mean, and I guess you could shove it up somebody's ass too. But why is that pretty?
It's also like the Land of the Lost, where you could find some slee sacks and some some others. Like, what are you going to find in there?
Duck butter.
Look. What if that game? What if that game when we were kids, instead of duck, duck, goose, was duck, duck, butter?
Duck, duck,
traumatizing.
Ooh, duck butter. Yeah,
traumatizing a new generation of children.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait. So seriously.
Okay. So seriously, their ad. It's a China-based company because God knows the Chinese have their fucked up sex toys. Apparently.
Yeah,
so
they make the best stuff. We all know
they make
that.
The best shit. But here's the thing: they claim. On their little infomercial. I didn't watch it. Apparently, I probably need to watch it because some people were making fun of the translation, that it was some sort of like bizarro translation.
Right.
So that's kind of like, those bad kung fu movies that are translated. It's like watching Chinese porn translated.
Right. That would be kind of funny.
Yeah. So, but this thing, they claim it's for women's healthcare. Go to a doctor. Don't do your own. Don't perform your own. Your vag cam, your Gaga vibrator, and Google are going to cure whatever ails you, apparently. So they're saying that whatever, STIs, sexually transmitted infections you might have, instead of going to the doctor if you're too embarrassed, just go get a Gaga for $180 and shove it up your hoo-ha. Go on Google and compare some pictures and try to figure out what you got. I mean,
that sounds brilliant. Okay, so
I don't understand. And the thing, The other thing about it is that, so they're saying that it's supposed to be a health thing, but you know it's not, because what kind of health thing? That's like, so what, the next step is you're going to go to the gynecologist and you're going to be able to get your rocks off while the gynecologist is scoping you because it vibrates? For an extra $50, ma'am, would you like me to turn it on? Would you like me to turn your speculum on? Yes, I would.
Because I love having you, I call them salad spoons. I love having you shove the salad spoons in me anyway. So yes. If you vibrated them and then, yeah. Oh wait, but please hit my bladder so that I piss on you while you're doing that.
This makes this experience so much better for me if I could just be super embarrassed by accidentally coming while you're giving me my exam.
And squirting across the room.
Yeah, totally. So, but
yeah, Dr. Jones, thanks. Do I have to pay you more for getting off because you have a warm speculum that vibrates that you can have the miner's hat on and just look inside my vagina?
No, so apparently the future of our young girls coming up today and shopping for vibrators, it's a kinder, safer vibrator. So you can, you know, you can check for STIs.
There's so much wrong with this that I don't even know where to go other than like, I am deeply disturbed by it. I mean, why? There's absolutely no way that if I shove that up me, which you still haven't told me, which is bothering me, how it gets retrieved. Is there a cord to it? Is there a string?
Well, it didn't really say. I mean, there's a USB cord, but the USB cord didn't necessarily explain that it was for. This so reminds me of the Kegel. But the USB, they should do a combined like product. The USB cord didn't necessarily say it's in case it gets lost up in your vag. It basically just says that it's for downloading the video on or the whatever onto your computer. And there's also, of course, wait for it, an app.
Of course there is. But so just go with me again. So even if the USB cord was the manner in which to retrieve this device from inside your vagina, if you pull on that, the little cord's going to come out because it's going to have a plug-in thing, right? So, I mean, like, this is...
Yeah, I don't think the USB cord, again, was not a safety device. So here's the thing. Here's the problem here with the Gaga is that...
There's just one?
There's so many. There's so many. You're going to get it up in there. You're going to get it up in there. You're going to be vibrating. You're going to do whatever. Maybe you have an STI and that's why you're too embarrassed to go to the doctor. So you're going to try to self-treat. Because I, of course, just like millions of others in the country, have my medical degree from Google.
You're going to and WebMD.
And WebMD. You're going to try to self-treat yourself. And then when you get it lost up there, you're going to have to go to the fucking doctor anyway and explain why you have an electronic camera up your hoo-ha and it got lost in the folds, which happens.
Right. And
to
if you have an STI and you diagnose it yourself, like you're gonna be able to call your doctor and be like, yeah, doc, I think I need 500 milligrams of erythromycin, or could you give me a Z-Pak because I've got, according to WebMD, I've got chlamydia.
No, unless you live on a state that's near the border and you can just hop on over into Mexico and buy yourself a Z-Pak.
Or Canada.
Mm-hmm. Or Canada. It's not gonna happen for you. You're gonna have to go, sex's gonna send you to the ER anyway. So.
All right, I'm done with this.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
So
wow.
One more thing that I thought was hilariously ironic,
yes,
in the week's worth of irony, because I was thinking to myself, you know, where's this going to go? If our gynecologist now going to be able to have cameras? Literally, as I was reading this story, right afterwards, a news story came on about a gynecologist who had been arrested for, wait for it, videotaping his exams. So apparently... The Gaga will get you arrested, people. So gynecologists, our gynecologist listeners, don't do it. Just say no to the Gaga.
All right. So now again, so some dude's getting off by... Okay, well, there you go. That's why the Gaga exists, because somebody thought it was a brilliant idea because somebody wants it.
I guess some fucking perv gynecologist wanted it and got himself landed in jail, because how is that even remotely hot? Please. Some guy out there, tell me. I want to know, why is looking
me
at the
too.
Inside of my uterus sexy? It's not sexy. You don't even know what you're looking at unless you're a doctor.
You know what? I want to go to Super Tim, Superfan Tim on this. Superfan Tim.
Right.
Can you please, or some other dude, email us at
Double Bubble Podcast. Brain fart. Double Bubble Podcast at gmail.com or our Facebook page, Double Bubble with Girk and Keek Facebook page. Let us know. Why is that sexy? I don't understand.
Yes. Ew. Okay. So this week, I was at my local Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And I'm always psyched when they sample stuff because that shit's expensive there.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's good. I mean, I dig it, but it's really expensive. So when they offer a treat of something like that, I'd like to try it before I buy it to decide whether or not it's palatable to me, right?
Yeah.
And they have the tongs and they have, you know, so usually they have like, let's say the chips with the guacamole that they're pushing, and the chips have a tong and the guacamole has a spoon. And I'm always a little creeped out by that because you just never know who's doing it and playing by the rules.
What do you mean, double dipping?
Well, this. So I do my little deal and I have my little taste and the guacamole and it's good. My friend that's with me, you know, they get their little thing and that's good. And like 10 feet behind us, we're walking away and we see this dude. He reaches in and grabs a chip and then he dips it in to the guacamole dip. Now, he didn't double dip, but it's just, that's just wrong. There's a lot wrong on this show today. And I'm like, you know, and I see him kind of picking through the rest of Whole Foods. Like somehow he, you know, there's always one guy sometimes when you're shopping and he's creepy, gross. And like, for whatever reason, you keep bumping into that person and you're just like, please don't let me bump into you. And oh God bless America. There he is again. And then you're like, you know, maybe you're getting the feminine hygiene products or something. And the guy's like,
there he is.
So I keep bumping into this dude. And all of a sudden, like in front of me, he stops in front of the milk case and starts picking his nose.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, now I'm like, ew. It only grossed me out like for a second kind of thing that he took the chip and double dip. But now that I know that he's a nose picker and he's probably a ball scratcher and he probably reaches in and scratches his duck butter, I am like, I'm ready to vomit up the chip and dip that I had like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm as not... much as I think farts are yeah. funny, I think nose picking is disgusting.
I have to say that I am not like a super germaphobe like that. I don't know that I would have been so grossed out by him grabbing the chip and dipping it, but I definitely, I think it's because I'm a little bit in denial. I try to live most of my life in denial. It's a much happier place that way. And I
understand.
I don't think my brain would have immediately gone to like, oh my God, that guy just, you know, probably touched his balls and then he reached his hand in that bag. But yeah, it's really hard to, that's some irrefutable evidence right there.
Well, I mean, I just think there's some etiquette when you're doing that kind of tasting stuff that, you know, it's pretty much guaranteed that you probably, and I'm not a huge, like, I'm not OCD about this. I'm not the person, I don't have, you know, antibacterial stuff in my purse. And I'm, you know, like I have the 5-second rule when it drops on the floor. But when you have a community food service type thing, maybe you've touched the car handle, you know, you've touched the cart handle, that stuff has germs all over it. So
yeah.
They put these tongs in place and they put these little server spoons in place so that you can make sure that none of the rest of us get sick with whatever it is that you may or may not have picked up.
Yeah, that's just...
But the most gross thing wasn't that he was picking his nose because I don't, you know, okay, there's the itch. You know, let's say that the tip of your nose or around your nostril,
Seinfeld,
there's the itch.
The Seinfeld itch. I was just itching.
Well, and truly enough, there's the itch.
Yeah.
Then there's like the rub. So conversely from the itch is with your fingertip. The rub is like when you actually bend your finger and you rub that against the bottom of your nose or whatever.
Yes.
Another itching tactic. It's when you're like a knuckle deep.
Yeah.
And then you look at it.
Yeah.
Like that will make me vomit. Now, isn't that weird? Farts are funny, but nose picking will make me vomit.
Well, it's like you and your mom. Your mom would sometimes just arbitrarily cut it off. And you apparently, you who can talk about whatever grossness, raunchy, whatever, but sometimes you just cross a line that you go, really? Nose picking? That's where you cross the line. We just talked about duck butter, but nose picking is going to do it for you?
Oh, the duck butter, actually, I wanted to vomit too. But just real quick, I can't stand nose picking so much that one time I was a passenger in a car and the guy next to me was like going for gold.
Yeah.
And I got out of the car, knocked on the window and just looked at him. Like, really?
Did you really?
Yes, I did. People think that they can pick their nose in their car like they're like in some kind of spaceship, that they're like in an alien bubble that no one sees them doing whatever it is they're doing.
You knocked on his window?
And I just looked at him like as he's got a finger in his nose. And I'm like,
because you thought that shaming him, that booger shaming him was a better way to go?
I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it.
What did he do?
He was justly mortified and just kind of like, got a little wiggy and obviously took his finger out of his nose, but it was gross.
You've never picked your nose in your car, ever.
I've never picked my nose in my car, ever. I have itched. I've used the fingertip and the knuckle to itch. If I have to go in my nose for any reason, there is a Kleenex wrapped, encased around. Because I'll be honest, there's sometimes where there's, you know, you can't dislodge whatever the debris is in your nose, i.e. a booger.
You're so, genteel about it all.
It's not very often.
I can't dislodge the obstruction that is up in my nasal cavity.
Well, because again, talk about stringers. You know, if you think you're grabbing for something crusty and all of a sudden you pull it out and there's like 3 inches of snot trailing behind it, it's disgusting.
It is disgusting, so, but I'm not going to lie. Kleenex. I cannot say that I have never picked my nose in my car. Of course I have. Of course I have.
I think you can pick your nose in the privacy of your own home. You can pick, but people think that in their car, they can't be seen by other people. And that's just not the case.
Yeah. You want to hear something super gross. You want me to gross you out?
Well, then I'll tell you another gross story. So go.
My ex had a nose job and he, had scar tissue. You know, sometimes people who get nose jobs, right, have scar tissue up there. And so he just would obsessively pick at it because it was the scar tissue would build up and he was always picking at it. So, and there's no way to be able to tell the difference of when you're picking your scar tissue and when you're picking your nose. So it just looked like he would just be sitting there digging for gold. And then he would.
He would eat it.
And he would put his finger in his mouth. I would like to say that's why we're not together anymore, but that's not really it.
I am like, I don't usually get like stunned into silence, but it was stunned silence and also trying not to regurgitate anything that I've eaten yet today, which thankfully I haven't eaten since like 8 o'clock this morning.
Okay, I was holding back that one for a really long time. Then I thought, I can't hold. I have to tell you.
Okay, so picking grosses me out on one level, and eating it grosses me out on a whole nother level. Along with the same people who go and then swallow.
Yeah.
Well, you know that they've just like hawked up like 3 tablespoons of loogie, and then they just swallow it.
Yeah.
Spit that shit out. And now I don't want to see you hawking in front of me. Get a handkerchief. Get a Kleenex. Get something.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I'll tell you this one story, and then we'll get off the booger talk for a while, because I think between the duck butter and the booger talk, our listeners might just be vomiting.
Yep.
This is the vomitous episode.
Yep.
Okay, so when I was in sixth grade, there was this guy, John, and it used to be like this funny thing if you could hold your breath until your face turned red without passing out. Okay, so the boys in my class would hold their breath and they would have contests. So one kid would be sitting next to the other kid and they would hold their breath until the other guy, one of them, would gasp for air.
Great.
So really brilliant. So the teacher's out of the room and these two guys start going at it. And of course the guy sits behind me and we're all looking, you know, we're all checking to see what this is going to happen. There was so much pressure built up in his head that as the teacher is walking back in the room and they're going to get caught, there's even more pressure. This, out of both nostrils, this stream of snot emitted from his nostrils and touched the floor, both sides. The teacher came in, he was so disgusted, and he said, "Son, that's the longest snot I've ever seen in my life." And you can't, like, suck that shit back in. I mean, it's just hanging there out of his face.
What is wrong with us? Something happened. Something happened. Something bad happened. We got to turn this shit off. Let's turn a corner.
You know what? Let's turn a corner. Let's go back to my mom, because we haven't talked about my mom for a while.
Yes, apparently I owe your mother an apology.
You don't really owe her an apology. She just prefers to be called. She does not want to be identified as Mrs. Girk.
And I labeled her Mrs. Girk and Mrs. Girk, I'm sorry.
What would she like to be called?
Ruth.
Yeah, which is not her name at all. It's a name that she was given by some friends of mine when I was in high school.
Why?
Because she hated Mrs. Girk then. Hated it.
Okay.
Hated it because she was divorced from my father. So she didn't want to be associated with him. So then my friends didn't know what to call her because her birth name, you know, her first name would be too familiar. So this friend of mine just made up the name Ruth.
Her own birth name would be too familiar. So she'd rather just go by Bob. Hey, Bob.
Right. Well, okay. In this case, Ruth.
In this case, Ruth. But it's hilarious. And it's just like, again, I dub thee Ruth.
Right.
So she can be called somebody else's first name, but not her own. Okay, right. Whatevs.
The mother, formerly known as Mrs. Girk, will now be known as Ruth.
Ruth. Ruth. Use it in a sentence. Ruth.
And Ruth. Ruth. So she's been kind of making me laugh a lot lately. And I had a couple of Fridays ago, I was having a really bad day. And I went to that local establishment where I met Jim, the older gentleman with the saggy balls.
Oh, yeah. The bar with the OTB.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
so I was sitting
high
there.
High class establishment.
Yeah. And she's like, what are you going to do? You want to go out to dinner? And I was kind of bummed out. And I'm like, no, I don't really want to. I just kind of want to be alone. And I think I'm going to go and play some video poker or something like that for a little while just to kind of get out of the house. Now, in this little, you know, there's the VFW. We've discussed the VFW in the strip mall, and there's a grocery store there. So I'm sitting outside at this bar, and she had asked me, you know, when I was going over there, and I had told her. And I see her pull up, and I'm like, how cool. She's going to come play some video poker with me. I mean, that would be nice. And the woman who's bartending, because it's me and only the bartender, is sitting outside with me. And my mom, I see this, like, clear plastic bag dangling from her hand. And I'm like, what does she have? What is that? And she walks up and she goes, hey, I got you some Havarti cheese.
that's a real mom. That's a real mom that knows that Havarti cheese would make you feel better.
Right. I mean, so she's got like this quarter pound of Havarti cheese just in the bag. And I said, that is really very nice of you. What exactly would you like me to do with it right now? Because I'm at the bar and I have no refrigeration options.
Don't judge her gift. She was trying to make you feel better.
No, of course it was really sweet, but who fucking brings cheese to a bar? I mean, are you kidding me? That was so sweet. I think it's the sweetest thing ever. And do you want to know something? I think she still has the Havarti cheese. I don't think
what?
I ever got it back from her. Because she took it home
because you
to
judged,
put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah, because you judged her and you told her that you weren't going to be able to carry around a bag of cheese.
Listen,
with you
she
for the
bought
rest
like $4. She bought $4 worth of cheese. What was I going to do? Put it in my car and let it get all sweaty and just have to throw it away anyway?
Oh, when we're back on the cheese again. I'm not going to be able to eat cheese for days.
So
I have to tell you again. In the never-ending saga that I'm realizing that Keek is a dumbass, because I have to tell you, just listening back to some of our episodes, I listen and I go, did I really say that? I'm constantly saying the wrong word for things, and I'm one of those people. Those people annoy me, and I'm apparently one of them. I don't even realize I'm doing it, except for the fact that we're recording it, and I listen to it now and go, what?
Well, kind of interesting is that they say the things that bother you and other people are things that you should look to see
Course. It's some sort of Freudian subconscious bullshit. But I only say that because I never even knew what Havarti cheese was until recently.
Right. I told you.
No. It was before. Oh. No. You started to tell me the story and I said, save it for the show because that's fantastic. But no, You started to tell me the story and it was literally, again, apparently this is the episode of irony that literally days before you told me that story, I was with my girlfriend at the beach and she brought snacks and she brought Havarti cheese because it was her favorite and crackers and whatever. And I went, the fuck is Havarti cheese?
So good.
It is so awesome. And I can't believe I've never heard of it. And then literally 3 days later, you're talking about how your favorite is Havarti.
It is. It's really
good. What kind of cheese is that? Is that like in the Swiss?
Havarti?
No, Swiss family is its own thing.
Yeah, it's its own thing. Cheddar. Havarti, provolone, Swiss. So, speaking of, so again, her...
Don't use that Keek as a dumbass tone. I know I'm a dumbass. You don't have to add tone.
Let's go back to my mother's generosity.
Oh, Ruth. Yes. So Ruth brought you a gigantic handful of cheese.
Right. And so that, you know, and I, like I said, I've
That's
never
so
gotten
Midwestern.
The cheese
That's so Midwestern, though. Here's some cheese.
But my mom does that like all the time. Like she knows that I'm like watching my weight. And she'll come over with like my favorite cupcakes, which is really great. But I'm like, and then you feel
How
like,
is that helpful?
Right. But then you feel like so fucking ungrateful because it's like, no, mom, I really don't want that 800 calorie cupcake or, you know, the bakery or whatever. Now I get it. When she grew up, it was like, you know.
Dude, I still do it. I try, you know, I'm all.
She's a food pusher.
Yes. I'm all like advanced and. you know, trying to be healthy, and we're teaching the kids how to eat healthy, and that, you know, don't eat sugar, it's going to give you cancer. I know it doesn't really, but I'm telling them that because, you know, I'm trying to get them not to eat sugar. And yet I'm the first one when I have my girlfriend and I have emotional eating Fridays. I'm the first one to emotionally eat. And if I'm with friends who are trying to lose weight, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's great. Lose weight tomorrow. I'm emotionally eating today and I need a friend.
Right. I get it.
I'm really bad that way. I am peer pressure poster child when it comes to my own emotional eating, because emotional eating alone is not fun. Who wants to emotionally eat alone? Nobody.
Well, sometimes I do it. Then I don't have to but it's only for today. I'll be like, oh, I'm just going to eat that box of chicken and a biscuit because I never eat it any other time except when I'm feeling like I need to be comforted. But I'll eat that totally sodium-rich, fake, chemically induced chicken broth cracker and be like, oh, that was so good. I feel so sick. And now I don't have to feel guilty eating it. Okay, so I also went shopping with my mom. I do not shop. I do not like to shop. I only go shopping when I know that I want to get something and I go get it. And it just so happens
that I hate going to the grocery store. I hate it.
No, I'm talking about any kind of shopping. I'm talking about clothes shopping and like, I don't like to shop. I just don't. It's not fun for me.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, we've already discussed how weird I am.
That's true.
So I go with her shopping and I don't know, we're at Kohl's or something. And I said, you know what? I need a pair of capri pants. That's what I need. For the summer, I need a pair of capri pants. So we're looking around and I didn't really find anything I wanted. Like a couple days later, she goes, I have something for you. And I go, okay. And it's a pair of capri pants.
With some cheese?
No cheese is fine. But it's a pair of capri pants.
That's so nice. Such a love, moms.
From the Goodwill store.
Oh.
Which is fine, but they don't fit me. Because she just grabbed the size that is the right size. But, you know, clothes fit differently, right? So she's like, well, you'll grow into them or you'll lose weight or you know what I mean?
Were they too big or too small?
They were a little bit too small. And I'm like, I could probably lose 5 pounds and they would. I don't like to wear tight fitting clothing too much. So, I mean, yes, I probably could have worn them. But to me, it would just be like just a little too snug for my comfort. So then like. Another 2 weeks later, I've got something for you. It's another pair of capri pants. Like they're in, you know, like we go to have breakfast and they're in like the back of her car.
You know why? Because Ruth is determined. She will not be bested by a pair of capri pants. She is determined to find you. You said you wanted it. And she is a mother. That's what I would do too. If my kid said he wanted something like that, I'd be like, okay, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to find my daughter some capri pants.
I told her that I found that I actually now have two pairs of capri pants that I actually wanted. And I told her that. So I'm done with the search for the capri pants.
Fuck
I
your guarantee stupid little capri pants. She wants to buy you a pair of capri pants.
I guarantee that I will have 10 pairs of capri pants that don't fit me by the end of the summer.
And who's going to benefit from that?
Goodwill. Because they're going to go back to Goodwill.
Goodwill. They're going to be like,
Well, that's like all the shit that she buys. She buys like she's on this Imelda Marcos, you know, shoes and purses kick. And she'll buy these purses. Like she's probably got like 300 purses, but they're only like a dollar or two.
Oh,
no, I'm exaggerating. She at least has 100.
Yeah. They're but like, think about it. This is what you need to tell Ruth. Ruth, because I know you listen to the show. Listen to me for a minute because girlfriend can shop and I love a good bargain like the next person. But think about it. You could go to Target or go to the Goodwill or go wherever you're going to go and spend a dollar on 100 purses or go and buy yourself a really freaking nice purse for $100. Which one would you rather have?
No, because she likes to match her purse to her shoes and this and that and all this stuff. And she's also, and I love her so much, but she's also the kind of person that just kills designer names. Like it's not Liz Claiborne, it's Liz Clyburn.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So that
I love Liz Claiborne.
Yeah. Right. So she says the name wrong and then I correct her and she gets mad at me. Whatever.
Because you're a snob. Because you're a snob.
Yeah. Well, because I corrected her and she doesn't like me to correct her. So anyway, so there's the what's up with Ruth. Was that flat? That might have been flat.
We should have jingles. We need to make little jingles.
I know we should.
This is the worst segue ever, but I remember you telling me that you had some funny shit that happened to you this week.
Literally. So I was at a, I, you know, my little town had a festival, you know, like, I don't know, I they don't really do them in LA like they do in Chicago, but like every suburb or every town or every, you know, section of town in the city of Chicago, like block parties or little towns have these little festivals.
I love block parties. I love block parties.
Well, these, so my little town had a fest and it's just a couple blocks away. So I go over there and there's a petting zoo. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so cute. And, you know, the kids are inside of there and there's this, you know, wire pen that maybe like, that, you know, that they just literally pushed in the ground and it's like 3 feet tall. So I can lean over. I don't need to go inside like a little kid would to pet the animals. I can pet them, you know, just by leaning over. So there's ducks and chickens and geese and goats and sheep and a llama and a bunny rabbit. And it's like, just, you know, it's a petting zoo. It's cute. So I'm leaning over and I'm touching the sheep and I'm, you know, petting this animal. And then it's just, it makes me feel really good. And I'm so excited about it. And I'm done. You know, I look at my friend that I'm with and I said, you know, I'm done. So I go over to the, you know, the little bathroom station and I put some antibacterial on because I have touched these animals, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to sanitize.
Yeah. I rode my bike over there. So we decided that we'd ride over to my mom's house because she's like 2 miles away. So I get to my mom's house and it's a white tank top that I'm wearing. And I look down and on my left breast is this yellow green stuff.
What? What was it?
Shit.
From what? Animal.
From pigs and ducks and geese. Better hurry.
I take you out in Missouri. Wait. But how did it jump up onto your tit? You were just bending over.
I was bent. So I bent over and we know I have big boobs. So obviously if I'm bending over at the waist, I'm bending down. And I'm sure that like the goose shit on the duck or something, you know, like shit goes down and a bigger animal shit on the smaller animal that I was petting or whatever. And then I must have like, you know, touched my chest for whatever reason and stood up. So I'm walking around with the shit on me and I don't even know it. It's not like it smells. I got to think it came from one of the ducks or the geese or something because it wasn't like a piece of poop. It was yellow and green. It was different. So I'm at my mom's house and I look down and I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm so grossed out. I'm like, oh my God. I've been riding my bike around with the shit on my shirt. And then I'm like, damn it. This is a brand new shirt and it's white and it's got feces on it. And I'm just so angry. So I go into her kitchen.
Did it look like duck butter?
It did not look like, I don't know what duck, you know what? I don't know what duck butter looks like. So
because you were touching a duck, I'm just going to say that it was the butter.
I know.
It was the duck's butter.
So I go into her kitchen and I go to like, you know, I move the shirt away and I start dabbing on the spot and sure as shit, it starts running down my shirt. So now my white tank top has become like a shit tie dye where it is just like the essence of whatever this crap is made of. Cause I'm sure, obviously it's plant-based material. It has now run down the front of my shirt and I have a shit tie dye on. And I'm at my mom's house and I'm sure I could have borrowed a shirt from her, but I'm like, ew, 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 ew. Okay. So I'm like, I'm out of here. I ride my bike back home, come back the 2 miles, take the shirt off, put some stain remover on it. And I put a new shirt on. The end. No.
No?
No. My friend comes over to give me some stuff. And I'm standing, this is about 3 hours later.
Is this the same friend that did not tell you that you had animal shit from the petting zoo on you that you were at the petting zoo with earlier?
No, but I don't think that person saw it either. I mean, we got back on our bikes and we just rode away. You know what I mean? So it's not like we were standing facing each other chit-chatting.
Yeah,
okay. So I'm standing outside with my girlfriend and she's like, you know, she was dropping something off and she goes, what's that yellow stuff on your neck?
Oh, come on. Come on. How did you not see that?
It wasn't mirror, mirror on the wall. I wasn't staring at my countenance to check out my beauty. I was running around all afternoon. And I just thought when I took the shirt off, I didn't see it any on me. And she's like, what is that yellow stuff? And I'm like, I've got to go. 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 And I ran in the house and I'm like scrubbing my neck. I'm like, ew, ew. This has been sitting on my skin for like 3+ hours. Ew.
And what have we learned from this experience? Nothing. You got no takeaway?
I really don't.
Don't go to petting zoos. They're not.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be your takeaway.
Dirty and gross. They're dirty and gross.
Yeah. Okay. So then within a matter of, I won't stop petting animals.
No,
but so
maybe next time just don't roll around in it or don't bend over with your big tatas.
I don't, but not, don't, you know dip, what?
Don't, no dipping, no dipping of the tatas in the,
and
fe-
perhaps
in the
not
fecal
to wear,
matter.
Well, and it's not like I knew that I was going to the fest and there was going to be a petting zoo. So it wasn't that I had the the forethought that I was going to touch these animals. But I would say the takeaway would be not to wear a white brand new shirt when you're going to touch animals that shit on each other. I think that's a good takeaway.
I guess.
So then within just a matter in less than a week, I was standing outside my house going to go into my car. I have these mulberry trees that are on the side of my house. So the birds are like digging eating the berries like crazy. And I'm standing at the back of my car to open the hatch. And this bird comes and drops a shit. It hits the car and splatters all over me.
That's, you know what? That's the universe, though. That's just karma because it's fucking with you. Because the universe knows that you have some sort of weird thing about animal shit. And the universe.
Okay, who doesn't have weird things about animal shit? You're cool with it? You're like, hey, I totally dig animal shit. It's my game. I dig it. I'm known for it.
Yeah.
I don't have any weird thing about animal shit. I just don't want animal shit on me. Do you?
No, I don't. But what happened when you got splashed?
It was right before a party. Of course it was. Right before a party at my house. And I'm standing there and it got on my clothes a little bit, but it got on my skin. On my skin. It sounds like my ankles and my feet.
Jesus Christ, how much shit was it?
This was like a download, like seriously, like a bird, like an A-bomb of mulberry shit. And it hit the window and it just broke apart and splattered like a water balloon. And I got shrapnel. I got mulberry shit shrapnel. So then it's wet on my feet and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, thankfully it didn't get on my shirt. But I'm waddling in the house because my feet are wet and I don't want to rub it anywhere else. And I was like, there's shit on me again. There's shit on me again. And I went and wiped it off. I'm done with the shit. So I'm just, going to say that to the universe. Dear universe, please let nobody or anything shit on me. I've been shit on enough. Thank you. Gurk.
What would Freud say about that, I wonder? That you're attracting shit into your life.
I always attract shit into my life. And a lot of it's really funny. And I quite frankly, as disturbed as I am, I think it's really funny that I got shit on twice in a week.
Oh, I'm sure. I know, knowing you as well as I do, I know that you were probably standing there half grossed out, but more in hysterics.
I did start laughing. When the bird shit on me, I'm like, really? Twice in a week? I haven't been shit on, I think in high school I was on my, or, it was a summer and I was on my way to work and I literally got bird shit in my hair and I had to go home and I had to, I had to get late for work. And I think I've only been bird shit on like once.
Yeah.
So to have it twice in a week was like, okay.
No, that's pretty special. That's pretty special. But the first one is kind of hilarious because, anyone who doesn't know you thinks that your boobs are so large that you can literally bend over and they'll touch the ground.
Oh my God. No, they're not torpedoes. They're not.
They're not like that. They're not like
No. I mean, I have a nice bosom. I mean, people would say I have a nice rack, I guess.
Yeah,
I've been told that.
You have a hot rack.
Yeah. Speaking of hot rack, do you know how I have a hot rack?
How?
Because remember for my birthday, we went and I went and had a bra fitting done because most women don't wear the right size bra.
Yes.
And we were at the Macy's.
Yes.
And you came in with me and the lady gave us a bigger size bra cup than I had been wearing.
Yeah.
And we thought it was so, because it was my birthday, and I said, I got boobs for my birthday, because I literally went up a cup size.
Yeah, because I think we were playing poker or something. There was something about it, and we had decided that we were going to get you a new bra. I can't remember why or what the backstory was there, but yeah, we went to the department store.
Because it wasn't wearing the right size.
A fancy one where they have, but I don't think we knew that before we went there, but we went to a fancy one where they actually measured
you. I had never been properly fitted, I think.
And when they fitted you, you were wearing the wrong size. You went up a cup and we were so excited because we had said that that's what we gave you. That's what I gave Girk that year for her birthday, bigger boobs.
And we took pictures.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We took pictures and we got in trouble.
We did get in trouble because
the lady yelled
women.
At us. She said, there are no taking pictures. I'm like, what does she think that we're like, we're doing porn in there?
Well, it is a little odd. I mean, think about it.
Do you remember we did it before and after? I put the old bra on where my boobs looked really small. And then I put the new bra on. I had really nice boobs.
Yeah.
Before and after. Before and after.
Before, after. Yeah, she was, whatever. I mean, I'm sure that looked a little odd to them. They probably thought we were lesbians. I don't know what they figured we were taking pictures of.
So what if we were lesbians taking, whether we're straight women or lesbian women taking pictures in the bra shop, they could suck off. Who cares? And you know what? Here's the thing. Those women are fitting bras, but I recall the woman who fitted me that day had librarian tits.
Missiles? You mean the missiles?
Well, she had the boobs that sat on the stomach with the glasses on the chain.
Oh, yeah.
Talked about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, there you go. That's why you know I have bigger boobs. But I have even bigger boobs than I have then.
Really? They grew?
Yeah, I think that's the weird thing, is that they just have continued to get bigger.
That's odd.
Isn't that weird? Again, who are we talking about?
You.
Yeah, I went from B's because it was a, I think it was a B to a C, right?
Are you a
I
D
think...
now? Are you a D now?
D.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Shit, girl.
I showed you.
I know. They look gigantic, but I didn't realize you were a D. Why are they still growing? What the hell? Mine didn't continue.
Well, I've gained weight. I mean, when you gain weight up and down, I have a feeling that if I lost 20 pounds, I'd probably be, I don't know.
Well, sadly, that's the first place that women lose. I mean, you're trying so desperately to lose weight, and the first place it goes is in your tits. That's not fair. That's like some sort of karmic bullshit.
Yeah, so we'll see. Well, I'm, in the process. I'm always in the process. I've been in the process of losing weight since I came out of her womb. Like, so we'll see what happens. I'll keep you all informed of
well,
how food shrink.
Maybe Ruth needs to stop food pushing.
It would be helpful if she could support me in this endeavor.
Maybe she needs to bring you the diet Havarti and no cupcakes.
I wouldn't even eat it. You know what? I don't eat anything diet. I'll be really honest.
No, I know. Diet cheese sounds sweaty and gross. But,
And plasticky.
She could bring you sugar-free something instead of, I was going to say Twinkies.
But I wouldn't even eat that. Here's my deal. If I'm going to, I'd rather eat something that's not processed and like I'll eat full butter, full sugar, whatever, and just moderate that. As opposed to like the 100 calorie this and the blah, 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 that, because the chemicals that are in it, in the diet pops and the diet foods, the chemicals that are in it, your body's not processing it. So it turns to fat anyway.
Well, no. And the fact that my girlfriend, I've been blessed. I've not had to really deal with weight stuff that much, but most of my friends do. And my girlfriend has this funny thing about the 100 calorie snack pack things because they come in, boxes. So yeah, you have they have them 100 calorie count out, but they come in boxes of like a dozen. So who's just going to stop at one by the time, you eat one bag and go, well, that was only 100 calories. And then before you know it, 12 bags later, you got crumbs everywhere and you're shamed because you just ate 1200 calories of 100 calorie snack packs.
And I know better too. Like I don't usually keep that stuff in my house. I don't really have cookies here. No. I don't have that kind of stuff here. Right. But when I have parties, like this past weekend, there was a party at my house and I was good enough to pack up what I didn't want yesterday in my house and give it to somebody else.
Oh, that's good. Me, but the next day, we had a birthday party for my son, and who was eating cupcakes the next day? This guy.
Right. Like I let the cake sit out.
So it would get all sweaty and gross.
You're going to have to edit that. We'll leave it at your son's birthday thing because my sister told me not to throw the cake out and to make sure someone ate it. And I asked both her kids if they wanted the cake and she said no. So I left it out and I had to throw it away and she'll fucking kill me.
Why? Was it a really expensive cake?
I don't know, but it was mostly eaten. But I don't want to be responsible for that. And there was no more room in my refrigerator and I don't want to eat it. And so where was it going to go?
Is your sister even listening, though? Come on.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, that's a good sister.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, I should say, yes, she is. Yeah, she is. I can't tell this story. You know what?
What?
Tell away. I have to live in the truth.
Okay.
Sister.
I'm sorry.
The cake got thrown away. The little bit of it that was left. The little bit of it that was left.
But I'm going to tell you something. If it was me, I would have eaten it. All. I would have eaten it all, and then I would have felt really gross about myself.
Yeah. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I had another party for a different reason, and I had oatmeal raisin cookies from the local supermarket. I didn't throw those away. I ate them. So I decided that I needed to be better for me.
Yeah.
So, I really don't like eating things that end up looking on my ass. So there you go.
You know what? I go through phases where I'm really good about eating and I'm eating really healthy. And then I go through phases where, like my mom says, I'm, 90% healthy and 10% cupcake.
Oh, you know what I'll do? What? So let's say like I've maybe haven't had the best eating week and I get on the scale and it shows that I've gained weight. Then I call it fuck it. And then I just go and have like pancakes and I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go eat what I want now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what keeps the weight loss industry in business, making billions, my friends.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks a lot, you guys. Love you.
Love you long time.
Thanks for joining us. See us next week. And we love our group, The Handcuffs, www.thehandcuffs.com. And don't forget, please send us any comments or questions or whatever ideas to our Facebook page at Double Bubble with Girk and Keek, or at you can email us at doublebubblepodcast@gmail.com. Take care.
Have a great week.